On to the ever-growing demand for short-form fiction. Open Book is at 4 o'clock. Now on Radio 4, the classic serial and the final part of our story set in 1955 in London, where the Second World War, although 10 years past, still lingers.
The Hireling by L.P. Hartley. Dramatised for radio by Judith Adams. With Simon Day as Stephen Leadbitter and Lisa Dillon as Lady Franklin.
Seduced by youthful widow Lady Franklin's expressions of gratitude for her newfound happiness and her insistence that class need be no barrier to relationships, her hired driver, Stephen Leadbitter, has kissed her passionately on their return journey from Winchester Cathedral. Deeply perturbed, she runs away from him and finds her own way home through the London streets. Reaching Knightsbridge at last, Lady Franklin uses her latchkey and hastens, still in outdoor clothes, to the front drawing room. Throwing her hat down onto the chaise, she paces through bars of shadow and sunlight with great agitation.
Lady Franklin, is everything all right, my lady? May I come in?
Yes. What time is it, Simmons?
Almost 6 o'clock, my lady.
If I'm allowed to say so, Lady Franklin, you are later than expected. Much later. I was concerned. And I did not see Leadbitter's car outside on your arrival.
No. I caught a bus. All the way from, Esher, I think.
A bus, my lady?
Yes, several buses, actually. Not my style, of course, but everyone was very kind.
Was there a breakdown at Esher?
A breakdown. Yes, yes. Everything broke down. Everything smashed.
An accident, you mean? Serious? Shall I call the police?
It's all over now. All over. What time did you say?
Almost 6 o'clock, my lady. Mr. Cantrip has arrived from the framers. He's just outside. Should I advise him to postpone?
Yes. No. No, don't do that. Let Mr. Cantrip in at once.
Her ladyship will see you, Mr. Cantrip. Mr. Cantrip, my lady.
Hughie.
Ernestine. Whatever is it?
What's wrong?
You can go, Simmons.
My lady.
Thank you, Simmons. That will be all.
What's happened to you?
Nothing. Well, yes, just a little shock.
Pleasant one, I hope? Not a pleasant one?
I don't know. It was a shock. I feel...
You look...
Tell me, honestly.
Well, honestly, you look rather fetching, my lady. A little dishevelled. Are you in your coat? Are you waiting to go out?
You've brought Philip's portrait.
I have, and shall unwrap it for you.
Put it on the chaise.
Took a bit longer than I thought. Decided you'd prefer a proper gilt frame. That caused all sorts of flurries at the framers. Here we are. Hope it still suits. Don't you like it?
It's simply wonderful, Hughie. It's him to the life.
Good-o. Well, I suppose that's that, then. Shall I...
Would you mind awfully kissing me?
I would awfully much like to kiss you, Ernestine.
Thank you.
You know, I hope, that I've wanted to do that for a very long time.
No, but why didn't you?
I haven't felt you'd welcome it, not until I walked into the room just now.
You're right. That's very sensitive of you, Hughie. I suppose all artists... sensitive. I want it now, and I didn't before. Which was the real me, I wonder?
And you don't mind now, in front of your husband?
No, I really don't. Isn't that strange? You've caught just the way Philip used to look at me. And now I can look back at him and smile about life. You've done this for me. You've saved me from my unhappiness, Hughie, and I can't ever thank you enough.
You might let me kiss you again. That would be a start. Do you think it might be time to take the coat and gloves off?
My wife, she died, oh then, my wife, she died, oh then.
The deep gash to Leadbitter's pride inflicted by Lady Franklin's rejection bleeds bile and poisonous rage for several days and nights. This particular evening, he's performing his regular shave with the assistance of a glass of scotch, while images of obscenity dance in his mirror.
Bitches. All of them. Bitches.
What's that, Mr. O?
Women. Bitches. Legs so short their asses bump the curbstone when they step off. Tarts on the street. All of them. Sniffing for what's in a man's trousers. Should be kept muzzled at home. Ah, damn and blast. Fetch us that cloth from under the kitchen sink, would you stand him?
Nasty cut.
You could say. Or you could say, I've had a close shave. I say stains is cancelled for tonight.
Mrs. Indisposed.
So he says.
We get plenty of cancellations, you know, Gov.
Word will be getting round, though, standing. You can bet your bottom dollar. They all live in each other's pockets, do the rich.
Word of what? You still haven't said up front. You had their number, you said. What did she do to get you all riled last week, our Lady Franklin?
What do the rich usually do? Play around with us like Siamese cats with mice, then stick their teeth right in. I expect she didn't fancy paying her last bill. After he made an indecent assault on me in his car, my lord, my car, my lord, since I paid for it, and now he has the impertinence to suggest I pay his monthly bill.
But Mr. L, she has paid her bill.
She'd have had it planned all along, the crafty bitch, trapping me like a rabbit in a... What?
We've got our check-in. Bang on the nail. It's here, look. On the pile for March. Nice handwriting. Have a gander.
Ernestine Franklin. Ernestine.
Posh, eh? She usually signs Lady E. Franklin, or someone else signs it for her. What did you mean about the car, though, Gov? Why would she think it's hers?
What? Oh, nothing. They think they own the world, though, don't they?
She sent this herself. Maybe she's saying no hard feelings, eh? What's done's dusted. Whatever was done. What do you think?
What does Leadbitter think as he looks at the full name he's never known till now, written in her own hand?
Ernestine.
Francis is one of my names, though not the one I use, of course, now I'm Lady Franklin.
Sorted then, eh? Money's in. Best to put her out of your mind for a bit, Mr. L.
Thank you. That will be all.
She'll come running soon enough when she finds what the other drivers are like. You'll see, Mr. L. Everything will be fine.
As it happens, Hughie Cantrip books a round trip with the usual pickup at Camden Hill for the American friend.
Darling, this is very exciting. Have you inherited an estate in the colonies now?
Not that I know of. It's always possible. Luck's running my way.
Tell, Hughie. Tell me the tale.
Yeah, I'm not sure I shall, Constance. I'm not sure you won't disapprove and make a scene.
Make a scene? How very English. I don't make scenes, I make portraits.
You don't like the portraits I make, which is, after all, my staff of life.
Oh, darling, you're starting to sound like an Old Testament prophet.
Some people like my work, you know.
People, Hughie?
Huh.
I'm glad. Especially if it's opening a gold mine for you.
Well, it's produced another nugget, anyway.
May I know whose nugget?
You've guessed already. Ernestine's.
Leadbitter, conjuring Ramsgate Seashore as he drives, wakes suddenly at this name, and though he shows no sign of it, is now all ears.
Oh. I thought you were all done with Our Lady of Shalott and her Gilded Tower. Paid up front and so on.
Well, her husband's portrait was paid for in advance, yes. She likes it very much, she says. So much, in fact, that I'm to paint her another.
How many dead husbands does the woman have?
It's not a photo this time, Constance. I'm painting the living.
The lady herself.
And now you'll make a scene.
Why should I?
Yes, why should you? But you mind. I can see you do.
How very sensitive of you, Hughie.
Yes, well, the thing is, you never wanted me to paint you. I begged and begged.
Of course not. Because I love you, and I don't want to love you less. What woman of any sense would really want to see herself through her lover's eyes? But perhaps you and she are still just good friends.
You see, I shouldn't have told you.
If we don't stay honest with each other, Hughie will sink.
I...
We always have been about our extras.
We always have been, and I'm being honest now. It's never made the slightest difference to us, Connie, so why are you suddenly jealous?
I'm not, of course, really jealous. Because I know she's not the kind to fall in love. You know it too, I hope. We've talked about it many times.
Yes, but I think she's changed. Just in the last few days, something's happened to change her.
So you've managed to awaken our sleeping beauty with a kiss?
No, not me. Not likely to be a kiss. I've kissed her with no sign of shocking her, and she says she's had a shock.
Ledbetter's hands grip the wheel tightly enough to cramp. His mind is one great storm.
I hope you're painting her lying down.
Of course. Much less tiring for her.
Especially since she's had a shock.
She said it was the result of an experiment, largely her own fault.
Shocks usually are.
Well, she said she hadn't behaved very well and was sorry about it. Guilt's one of her things, you know. I tell her she must learn to forgive herself more.
Oh, you'll teach her that, no problem. You're an expert in self-forgiveness.
Yeah, I'm gonna have her with her hands clasped behind her head, like Goya's Maha Vestida.
Why not as Sleeping Beauty? She'd recover more quickly from her shock, you know, if she slept while you painted her.
Well, she's not exactly beautiful. I mean, her eyes are too large for her face. She does like to talk to me. It's part of her cure, she says. Part of her experiment. You know, someone told her to be like the Ancient Mariner and try talking.
Did she say who that was?
Didn't ask. Why?
So you earn your double fee by listening to her talking all about herself.
I'm on my best behavior with her, you know.
You?
I rather like being on my best behavior with someone. Someone who looks up to me. I'd hate to have to be on my best behaviour with you. That's real love, isn't it, Constance? So you've taught me. Real love is never lying.
The woman is straight out of a fairy tale. Who was it who got a shock and fell in love with the first thing she saw?
It's thanks to Ernestine we're sitting here, you know, Constance.
And so say all of us.
Ledbetter murmurs to the ghost of the lady smiling beside him, straight out of a fairy tale. For a while, Ledbetter remains haunted and hypnotized by this compound ghost, part Lady Franklin, part Clarice, his erstwhile lover. His memories of these two make up a perfect hybrid woman called Frances, Mrs. Ledbetter. This figment of fantasy returns to plague the inventor with monstrous seductiveness. He starts to lead a double life, with her either side the mirror's surface. It starts when, returning home the next day after midnight...
Who's there? Hello? Anyone?
Entering the bathroom, he avoids looking at the mirror so as not to see the dark circles carved permanently now under his eyes.
Like a moon face from the side, with that shadow.
Clarice?
Drying his hands and face, he goes back into the bedsit, where by day his clerk sits, and where, once upon a time, Clarice had wept. He sits in an armchair, and before his head touches it, he falls asleep and back into the sweet fantasy.
Time to kiss Daddy goodnight, kids. Come on.
Nighty-night.
My turn. Is there anything you want to tell me, Steve? Stevie, you mustn't go before she gets the message.
What message?
Hush now. And I'll tell you what I did today, shall I? And stroke your hair.
That's nice. That's very nice. Who's there?
Only me, Mr. L, not to worry. Look at the state of you, though. Not been sleeping in the chair all night, have you? Do you no good at all? You'll be making yourself ill. Sit there and I'll just make us a brew.
Can you bear to keep your arms up a little longer? I can see you're tired.
A little longer.
We'll stop soon, I promise. Reminds me very much, you see, of a painting by Goya. Do you know it? The Mahavestida?
I might have seen it, but I wouldn't remember. I know nothing about art. It used to be Philip's greatest sadness. In stately homes and cathedrals and art galleries, he would be gazing, transported at things, while I was watching someone who'd struck me as odd.
I'm not sure how much I know about art, to be honest. I have friends who know a great deal more. I like to paint because it gives me a reason to look at people too, I suppose.
Then we have that in common. I'm so glad. Mm. I love how honest you are, Hughie.
Oh, dear.
What does that mean?
Well, it means I'm not too sure how honest I am, to be honest. You mustn't take me too seriously, you know, Ernestine.
Oh, but I do. I look up to you. You know so many things I don't. So, what is the Mahavestida? Is it a nude?
No, that's the Mahadesnuda. Goya did paint the same girl twice, as it happens, dressed and nude.
Hmm.
I'd be happy to do the same, Ernestine. In the name of art.
Thank you. And is Maha her name? Who was she?
Well, I don't imagine anyone knows. Maha just means some peasant girl. Right, you can put your arms down now, Ernestine. I'm packing up for the day. Picture's nearly done, you know.
I think money is a terrible barrier between people. I shouldn't like it to be a barrier between us, Hughie.
I don't see it can be helped. You pay, I'm paid.
Will you stay for a drink?
Oh.
Please, make yourself a martini.
Thank you. I'll have to leave soon, though. Would you like one?
No, I'd rather have a brandy. It must be so freeing, artistically and spiritually speaking, not to have money.
Well, if there was no money involved, I'd either be paying you a pittance for displaying your charms to me in the public, or I wouldn't be painting you at all.
Oh, dear, I know. It's all so poisonous, though, don't you think? The way money affects everything. The different ways it can corrupt and keep people at arm's length from what they love.
Hmm. Well, here's your brandy. And here's to money.
I'd like to make a toast to something else tonight. I'd like to make a toast to art and to love.
To art and to love. Money will just have to take third place.
It isn't my fault I'm rich, so why should I suffer for it? And I don't want you to suffer for it either.
Then I may paint you again, Ernestine?
I don't think so, no. Not unless I don't pay you.
Don't? But...
Not, that's to say, unless we get married first. Will you still want to paint me if we get married, Hughie? I mean, I wouldn't want it to stop you from being a painter.
Preparing for yet another long evening of tedium to rival those of Goya's peasant model, Leadbitter collects Constance from her flat on Campden Hill. And arriving at Hughie's studio in Chelsea, he gets out and presses the doorbell. But no one answers.
It's not like Hughie to be late. I hope he's all right.
He'll probably take a taxi from wherever he is, if he's late.
Not his style. Oh, I know I'm being silly, but I feel anxious.
Time's always slow when you're waiting, miss. A watch pot never boils, as we say over here.
You're quite right.
Here's a taxi there, miss.
5 and 6. Keep the change.
Hughie, I thought you'd been run over. This is some way to treat me.
Oh, sorry, Aunt May. Richmond, please. Leadbitter, usual place.
Leadership? Yes, sir.
The first half of the drive is in silence, but the world within the car is as heavy with storm as the world without. As they approach the river, Constance takes the initiative.
Is that martini on your breath, Hughie? Early start, isn't it?
What, you my mother now? I stayed to have a drink.
Is she liking her portrait?
Dotes on it.
And you?
I think it's not bad.
You know what I mean. Does she dote on you too, Hughie?
You know she does. Let's not go through all this again, Connie.
She's a poor, misguided creature stretched out on that daybed, worshipping you hour after hour. It seems to make you bad-tempered, and I don't wonder. But at least she lays golden eggs, and soon it will all come to an end.
She doesn't want it to.
doesn't want it to. Who does she want you to paint now? Her butler? Her parrot?
No one, for now, and she doesn't have a parrot.
How are you going to earn your bread, then?
She's asked me to marry her. Damn it, Leadbitter, what was that?
Sorry, sir. Idiot came right us from a side road.
Ernestine had drunk too much martini, I take it.
None.
That she was serious and sober when she proposed such nonsense in, I might add, a very unladylike manner.
Well, you know, she'd had a brandy. She said we should drink a toast to art and love, which we did. Then she asked me if I'd still want to paint her if we got married. You could have knocked me down with a feather.
I had no idea you'd become so intimate. Would you have gotten around to asking her yourself, Huey, if she hadn't been so forward?
Lord, no.
Because of the money?
Because I'm not in love with her.
But you said yes. And that's why you're so angry with me. You're embarrassed. Well, good luck to you. Oh, good luck. Good luck. And now I think I'd like to go back to Chelsea. Please tell our kind driver to turn around.
No, we can't do that. The table's booked.
What do your English ladies say? I find myself indisposed of a sudden.
Please, Constance, don't do this.
I have a headache.
You? Right, then we'll go back. Leadbitter, would you turn round? My friend wants to go back home.
Very good, sir.
Good heavens, Leadbitter, has everyone gone mad tonight?
Sorry, miss.
The distressed couple have been flung into each other's arms. Leadbitter listens to their silence as intently as he has to their speech. Jealousy runs like a paralyzing poison through his bloodstream.
Don't, Huey, don't stop holding me yet, please. I'm sorry I'm such poor company. I can't quite realize what a change it's going to be to me, all this.
Shh, darling, what good have I ever been to you? I've been an encumbrance, really, all these years, sponging and...
The best years of a woman's life.
Yes, you see, and you've been tied to me. You could have married many times.
I could have married. I wanted to hang around and annoy you. But I should have worshipped you. I can see that.
Oh, it's always been a great encouragement to me, telling me how bad my painting is. I shouldn't have kept up with it if you hadn't, you know.
Ernestine won't be helped you there. She'll praise it every day and you'll never paint again.
Yes, she thinks I'm smashing. She'll spoil me to death. You could give her a few wrinkles about me, couldn't you?
I could. But I'd much rather fade out of the picture. I feel like I'm fading already. Am I still here, Huey? I feel very strange.
Oh, yes, Constance, you're still here. Will you let me kiss you to prove it?
I'll disappear, and you'll forget all about me. You'll have lots of friends with their own Bentleys and Rolls Royces. No more corduroy trousers. No more open shirts. No more beard, perhaps.
No. She likes bohemians.
I expect she likes lions, too. In a zoo, but not in the drawing room. She'll have to pop you into a cage. A gilded cage, of course. Oh, my poor Huey. Dear Huey, please tell the driver to go faster.
What's the hurry? Isn't this nice?
I want to go home now. I want to be alone with this difference.
But darling, dearest Constance, why need there be a difference?
What are you saying, Huey? I don't understand.
It needn't make a difference to us if I get married, surely. If you'd ever married, I would have still been here for you, wanted to see you, wanted to be together in the same way, or perhaps even in a new way, more desperate, more thrilling. Why are you giving me notice, like some worn-out servant?
I rather thought you were giving me notice. You're always saying I'm being unfair to Ernestine. Now I think you're being unfair to her, don't you?
Damn, Ernestine. Am I being unfair to you? That's the question.
You have a perfect right to marry.
And I have a perfect right to make you happy.
You think that marrying Ernestine makes me happy?
Why should it divide us? You've shared me before. Think of the places I shall afford to take us to.
Oh, Huey, you're a child. I've never had to share you as a married man.
I'm not in love with Ernestine. I said so. I'm in love with you and always will be. Darling, don't do this to us. We can be so happy still together. Trust me. Kiss me again. Kiss me again and you'll know I'm right.
No, wait. I need to think. Where are we, Huey? Do you know? I haven't any idea. We could be anywhere. This is all so strange.
Only about 2 minutes from Campden Hill now, miss.
Good heavens. Campden Hill? Why are we going there?
You said...
You don't want to go there, do you, Constance? I'm so terribly hungry, darling. Aren't you?
Yes. Ravenous.
Well, then we're going back to Richmond. Leadbitter, we've changed our minds. My friend doesn't want to go home after all.
The hotel, when at last they reach it, seems a paradise. More special for being paradise suddenly lost and then so swiftly regained. They are immensely pleased with themselves and each other for reaching this state of simplicity, this pure, uncomplicated selfishness. Leadbitter, driving slowly home, admits to himself that he loves Lady Franklin. This may mean nothing to her or to the world because he isn't in her class, but he wouldn't have had another woman tucked away in the back seat, at least. She would have had him all to herself, such as he is. Thinking of how vulnerable she will be in her ignorance of what he now knows to be her true situation, a wave of tenderness breaks over him as painful as tears, and, as with tears, it washes away so many adhesions that he feels like a man waking from anaesthetic, lost to his past life forever.
Read it again, will you, Bert?
Lady Franklin, Madam, it has reached the ears of a well-wisher...
A sincere well-wisher.
It has reached the ears of a sincere well-wisher that the man you intend to marry is not worthy of you. He already has a woman in tow and intends to go on seeing her after he is married to you. I thought you would like to know this.
What do you think?
Well, she's not going to like knowing it, is she? What about... I thought you ought to know.
I mean, what do you think about the whole shoot?
Well, honestly... I think it's good to get it off your chest, Mr. L. Writing something can do that. It doesn't necessarily mean it should be sent, though. I agree from what it says here that it's a bad do for the lady, not treatment any lady deserves. But I think there's deep waters here, and I've said so before. I don't think you should get yourself wet. And anonymous? That's not your style at all. I've known you long enough to know you like to keep yourself to yourself, or to come out sharp with it and call a spade to a chap's face.
You weren't there to hear them, Bert. It was like having your ears burned out. It nearly drove me raving mad to keep quiet. She's got no one to keep an eye on her. How am I supposed to help her when I shouldn't have heard a thing? And the world thinks it's nothing to do with me.
Beg pardon, Mr. L, but it is nothing to do with you, isn't it? It's a right old mess, but it's how their sort always carry on. You've said it yourself.
I've said. She's not the same as all the others.
You have said that, but you've not said what makes her different.
She was a loyal friend in need, and I'm going to stand by her now.
What's it going to cost, though? That's what I'm asking. We're doing well. What's it going to cost if she finds out, or Mr. Cantrip finds out, who wrote this? You said before, Mr. L, that word gets round that lot, and love them or hate them, they're our bread and butter.
If Cantrip finds out and comes round here and cuts up rough, won't I be glad to show him where he gets off?
She'll be very upset, you know, to read this.
Better to have a good cry now than marry a man who's keeping another woman with your money. You can't make an omelette without breaking eggs.
Sounds like your mind's made up, then.
Well, I don't know. It seems right, and then it doesn't. Not wrong like immoral, just wrong. Lady Franklin and an anonymous letter's like, I don't know, A cathedral with a cosmosaur on its roof.
I don't know as I compare a lady with a cathedral, Mr. L.
What I mean is there are so many angles, so many points of view to this, to her. How do I know what she wants?
Exactly. But it's like I say, Mr. L, it's just not fitting. Not your style. Not our code. Not army discipline, eh?
Even in the army, discipline and codes have to go out the window sometimes. You know that, Bert. Sometimes in war, things happen that mean it's better not to keep the rules.
Better for who?
Everyone. The good of everyone. He's going to be lying to her every time he's with her. What good is that? It's about what's fitting. I'd sooner have gone on the parade ground looking like a pox doctor's clerk than pretend to be something I'm not.
You telling me you never took a lady of your own for a ride? Never lied to one?
White lies, maybe. Harmless ones. Not...
Leadbitter stops on very thin ice. He remembers, with confusion and discomfort, that he has lied to Lady Franklin from the first day he met her.
So, maybe it's best to keep this in reserve for now, eh? I'll pop it in an envelope and into the receipts drawer. And let's wait and see what happens. Get a clearer picture.
What does happen a few hours later on that same day is a phone call from Huey Cantrip, arch-villain and deceiver. And as Standing has already gone home, Leadbitter answers.
Any chance you could come and pick me up from my studio on Thursday evening around 7? I'm taking a friend out to dinner. Oh, and will you be free till around 11? And how are you yourself?
Oh, well, I'm fine, sir. But I'm not sure about Thursday. I'll have to put someone else off.
This is a lie.
Or I could just save you any more trouble and send another man in my place.
Well, just as you like, but I'd much rather it was you. So come if you can.
Leadbitter finds himself, against all his opinions and intentions, touched by Huey's affability. He speaks to him as a person who matters, and as a driver he prefers to any other driver. He thinks of the money and hears himself say...
Well, very good, sir. I'll give the other job to my extra chap and I'll be there Thursday then, at 7.
He tells himself it's a way of keeping an eye on Huey and his girlfriend, and a way of not losing touch with Lady Franklin altogether, even at one remove.
Evening, Leadbitter.
Evening, sir.
39 South Halkin Street, if you please.
Sorry, sir?
South Halkin Street, Knightsbridge. Turning off Belgrave Square, do you know it?
Yes, sir.
He cannot quite believe what's happening. The other passenger will be Lady Franklin herself. Swinging into Belgrave Square, so strange and yet so familiar, he tries to clear his mind of hopes and fears and any preconceptions of what might happen, just as he used to before going into action in the war.
Ring the bell for me, would you?
Yes, sir.
Oh. It's a long time since we saw you. Never since the day of the accident.
What accident? I've never had an accident.
Must have lost your memory then. The last time you took her ladyship out, you had an accident, and her ladyship had to come back by other means. Properly frightened she was, very upset. Upset for days. And you say no accident.
Oh, that, yes. I had forgotten that.
Well...
Excuse me, Simmons. Good evening.
Good evening, my lady.
Thank you. You're late, Huey.
I'm sorry, darling. Forgive me.
Of course.
Where to, sir?
Oh, Oarsman's Arms at Richmond, I think. It's not a bad place as places go. What do you think, Ernestine?
I've never been there, but I'm sure it will be lovely.
Not as lovely as the Petersham, Leadbitter reflects as he pulls away into the traffic. But then, he supposes Huey is looking out for the money. Now it's going to be his.
Hope you're comfortable in this car, darling. I did think I might order a bigger one, more suitable for you, but this does very well for two. And this chap's a first-rate driver. I'd trust him anywhere.
He does seem a careful driver.
She says, and says no more for quite a long time.
Darling, you're very quiet. Is anything wrong?
Oh, no. It's just... I'm so happy, Huey. This is the first time we've been out together. I love going out, and it's so romantic and exciting going to Richmond. Why have I never been, I wonder?
Well, it is a little, bohemian. Perhaps you'll think it's not suitable, too different from what you're used to?
I won't. I want everything to be different. And Bohemia is the perfect place for great painters.
Oh, honesty.
I shall give you no peace until you are a great painter, too.
Damn, I thought I was already.
In my eyes. I want everyone to see it. You make me so happy, Huey. I want to share everything.
Even me?
What's she going to say now? Leadbitter wonders in the pause, with a tiger smile.
Your work, of course, with all the world. But you, my darling, I hadn't thought of it.
And?
Somehow I can't picture it. It isn't real to me. Share you? No, I couldn't. Oh, are we there?
Yeah, it looks as though we are.
Thank you.
Come on. Hope they've kept the table. It's got a view of the river.
You go ahead, darling, and check. I'm just going to look for something in the car that I dropped.
Oh, shall I look?
No, the driver will help.
Righto, see you in a minute.
What am I looking for, m'lady?
Steve. Steve, I'm sorry.
For what, m'lady?
For everything. You were a good friend to me.
M'lady...
Will you congratulate me? I'm engaged to be married. And I'm so happy. It wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for the... If it hadn't been for your kindness. Won't you shake my hand and wish me luck?
I wish you luck, m'lady. All the luck in the world.
Then shake my hand.
M'lady...
Thank you. How strange that you should have been driving him too. I never knew.
I've only driven him once or twice.
Isn't he charming? So clever. So talented. I think he might be a genius, you know. You won't say anything about... It will be our secret. The only secret I'll keep from Huey. Because it was innocent. I understand it now, even if I didn't then.
My lady, it was because...
No, please, let me tell you. It was because you are the kindest-hearted man imaginable. And you could see I needed... Well, waking up.
No, it wasn't. I'm not all that kind-hearted. It was because...
Your wife, Frances, how is she?
She's fine, my lady.
And the children?
They're fine.
And business?
We're ticking over. Mustn't grumble.
Ernestine!
I need to have left something in the car. What can it be? Could you give me a shilling? I'll give it back to you later. Thank you. He's so dear to me. I couldn't bear it if the slightest cloud. You won't ever.
I never talk, my lady.
Lys said, soon as mended, resolved a frozen Leadbitter. He loves her. And she loves Huey. Plainly, with Huey lies her best hope of happiness. And happiness is all Leadbitter wishes for her now. He will let go and move on. He concentrates, instead, on his sudden burning desire to buy a larger car. He must take a look round at the current market for limousines. Limousines have a glass panel between driver and passenger, one operated by the driver.
My wife, she's dying her all. My wife, she's dying her all.
When he's awake, real memories beset him. While he shaves, taking care not to look at his dark-circled eyes, he finds himself now recalling Clarice more often, the woman he lived with longest. And his repartee delights him far less than it used to.
Nice face, but what's behind it, eh? What's behind it? Nothing, and I'm starved.
Starved? With a figure like that, once round you is twice round the gasworks, I'd say.
You're so sharp, you'll cut yourself one day. I won't care a fig. Except your skin's so hard, it'll turn the blade.
Oh, look, she's crying. So what's the crying for, then? Don't you make me softer with your crocodile tears? I hate women crying. You'll be back. Don't cry, Clarice. Any bookings coming for this morning, Bert?
Nothing till 3, Mr. L.
I'm thinking of taking a trip myself to Ullin, a little half-day holiday.
Good job, Gov. You're driving yourself 2 hours.
Oh, don't start on that. By the way, that letter...
He doesn't need to say which letter. It has lain in the drawer among the receipts like an unexploded bomb. A new piece has robbed it now of usefulness. Time to dismantle it.
Chuck it, will you?
I will, Gov. And by the way, she rang up, you know. Lady Franklin? Yesterday.
What does she want?
She wants you to drive her to her wedding.
Did she say when?
About a fortnight, I think. She hasn't got a date yet.
What did you say?
I said I was sure you'd do it if you could. We should get some flowers to send in the car, Mr. L. From the firm. Good for business.
It hadn't been easy to find Clarice's address. She'd moved a few times and changed her name too. That didn't discourage him. It whetted his appetite to see her again. Parked in one of the meaner streets of Hackney, his car, still the old model, but still with its sleek black surface, so highly polished he can see his reflection in it, is so altogether too resplendent for its surroundings that little boys gather to gape with awe, stroke it, and reverently take down its number.
Does Mrs. Crowe live here?
Who's asking?
Is her old man anywhere about? He used to be a mate of mine.
They live apart now. Didn't you know? Some friend of his you must be.
Ah, well, we drifted. How's Clarice doing these days?
Well, rid. She's in the millinery business and picking up a packet, if you ask me. Come in if you want. She'll be here in a little while and you can wait in the kitchen if you wipe your shoes.
Ledbetter's shoes, like his car, are mirror clean, and the landlady can't help but be impressed.
It's all right. Now I've found the house, I'll come back.
You needn't, you know. If it's your chances you fancy, she's off men completely.
All of them?
Seems so. And it's a pity, if you ask me, attractive lass like her. There was one she really liked. Left her hubby for him, but he had a tongue to take your skin off, she says. Broke her heart.
Well, tell her I know him, and he's not such a bad fellow now.
No?
Tone down a bit, missus. Learn a few lessons. Ask her if bygones can't be bygones, and if they can, would she send her photo back? And then he'll know.
You're him, aren't you?
Who?
The one she left her hubby for. The one who put her off men for good. She didn't mention you were such a cracker, though. Turned over a leaf, have you?
Tell her, missus. Tell her I hope she's well. Tell her I am...
the smoothest bastard that ever twisted a woman round his little finger and then bit it off to spite her.
Clarice!
This him, dearie?
Yeah, and what possessed you, Mrs. White, to give him space on your doorstep? I won't cross the threshold, I tell you. Not until that bastard's gone for good.
Oh, Mrs. Crowther, that's a bit hard, isn't it? Only...
hard? Hard? Me, hard? I like that. If I was made of flint, I wouldn't be hard enough after what he's done to me. I told you!
You did, and I believe you. But why be hasty now, dear? Why not hear what he has to say? He speaks so nicely, and no man's a saint, we know that. We should forgive and forget if they come cap in hand. Look how quietly he's standing there, bless him.
I won't look at him. I've done all the looking at him I'm ever going to do. All he needs is a mirror. He loves himself that much. I expect he's just lost the next poor fool who fell for him and thinks he can come here and pick up cast-offs. He needs women like a snake does, to suck the juices out of them and fill their blood with his venom. Take yourself off, Steve Ledbetter, and never let me hear of you again, or I'll go to the police.
Routed, he regains his car as quickly as he can. The gaping boys scatter like starlings. He drives to the nearest pub, where he downs 3 straight whiskies and asks the landlord for a sheet of notepaper, an envelope and a stamp. The anonymous letter, which has had so many versions in his head, is rewritten in a sprawling hand. Dropping it into the nearest box, he feels pure as driven snow. Not since he was a child has he felt so pure. Not since the distant days when, on rare occasions, his mother used to tell him he'd been a good boy. He drives home, steady as only the drunk can sometimes be, to find a note waiting in his secretary's hand, saying the new limousine is ready for collection Wednesday and there is a booking for the day after.
Thursday, 7 p.m, Mr. Cantrip to Richmond. Wait and return.
So, his first trip in the new car will be with Hughie and Lady Franklin, the engaged couple. That should be interesting. Next morning, clearing possessions out of his old car to move them to the new, he leaves his St. Christopher medallion out on the desk. He wants her to know what? That he cares for her safety and happiness? That her knowledge of his caring might carry her through the turbulent stream of facing some hard facts about her marriage and future life with Hughie. Because, of course, the wedding will take place. He's made up his mind to that. She always thinks the best of everyone and won't take an anonymous and drunken scrawl seriously. It had been for his own peace of mind, writing that stupid letter. He addresses his second and last envelope to Lady Franklin, and as he slips the medallion into its folds with a neat, signed note wishing her luck, there is a sudden flash of blue and silver, like a glimpse of the sky. Before he sets off in the new limousine, he fetches his bottle of scotch and a glass. Another sort of protection to him now.
You're going the wrong way.
Yes, sir?
Wrong way. We've missed the turn.
Aren't we going to South Halkin Street?
No, no, Captain Hill. Thought you knew.
Sorry, sir.
Hughie got into the car with no greeting and has not noticed its sleek newness. Now it seems Constance, and not Lady Franklin, is to be his escort for its first outing. But perhaps this time she's to be given her marching orders.
Why, this is a new car. It's got a glass arrangement, so we can be as indiscreet as we like.
Where to now, sir?
I don't know. Richmond, I suppose.
Heavens, whatever's wrong with you, Hughie?
Wrong with me? I like your cool. What was it changed your mind about my marriage?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Have you changed your mind about it?
No, but she has, and you know why.
I know why.
Someone sent Ernestine an anonymous letter.
About us?
Oh, about me, I think. Naturally, it didn't mention your name.
Hughie, you can't think this letter came from me.
Well, who else is there? You said from the start you didn't like me marrying her.
Oh, Hughie, don't. Don't do this to us. Don't. I can't bear it. Surely, surely you know me well enough
to know that I... For God's sake, everyone can hear. Leadbitter!
Yes, sir.
Why are we crawling like this?
I'm running her in, sir.
Well, shut the glass and get a move on.
Yes, sir.
Darkness has fallen, and Leadbitter, desperate to know the details, and now regretting the glass partition, continues to drive on at his own pace to Richmond.
Yes, did I say anything like your thing with that dentist? I haven't said anything.
Sorry, Leadbitter, but my friend feels ill and needs to go back to Campden.
Very good, sir. Would madame like some scotch, sir? I keep some here just in case the customer doesn't feel well.
Wonderful. Oh, how wonderful. Do pour me one, Hughie. And won't you have one yourself, Mr. Leadbitter?
I'm afraid I don't drink, madam.
Oh, but you should. How else is life bearable? Pour me another, would you? Dear Mr. Leadbitter, you seem a kind man, or at any rate, you have a nice face. How do you think I can convince my lover that in spite of all the terrible things I have done in my life, I simply would not send anyone an anonymous letter? It just isn't me. Even you must know what I mean.
I do, madam.
It won't make any difference to him, because it turns out he doesn't love or even know me at all. But will you at least tell him I didn't do it?
She didn't do it, sir.
You see, you're wrong.
How the hell would he know?
I didn't do it, Hughie. Now let's just kiss and make up again. We always will, you know. Let's just go and eat. Leadbitter, carry on to Richmond.
Yes, madam.
Oh, hold me, Hughie, please. Hold me.
You're going the right way.
You'd be the best judge of that, sir.
Now look here.
Boys.
Oh, I think this is right.
Aren't we going a bit fast? Not that I mind. Right or wrong, it's all such fun.
Please don't drive so fast, Leadbitter. Constance, if you didn't send the letter, who did? I certainly told no one. Did you tell anyone, Constance?
Of course not. Who would I tell?
Me!
What?
He's driving too fast. Where are we? Have we turned around?
They say, is this the road to Richmond?
You told me!
What?
Do you think I'm deaf? You told me! What do you think I am? Just a bit of a car? A machine? Both of you told me everything. And I haven't heard either of you even mention how she is.
Who?
Who, he says.
He means Ernestine.
What?
Huey. He means Ernestine. Leadbitter. Was it you? It was you, wasn't it? You sent the letter.
Damn it, slow down.
Yes, it was me. Are you going to tell her?
No, of course not. What good would that do?
Oh, bloody tell her.
But why? Why did you do it, Leadbitter?
You won't believe me if I told you.
Well, we'll give it a try. If you'd slow down, please.
How is she?
What?
When you left her, how was she?
Oh, what? She cried a bit, that's all.
That's all?
I'll go to her. I'll give her a message for you if you'd like. Just please slow down.
Promise me one thing.
Oh, right. What?
That you won't tell her it was me who sent the letter. It wasn't me. Not really me.
You bloody fool. You mad idiot. You're just a hireling. It was me, it wasn't me. Who cares one way or the other now? And how the hell did a bloody hired driver manage to get us all in a mess like this?
Oh, just a hiding, am I? Very well, sir. I'll sort it out then, sir. Shall I? Right away, sir. Tell Lady Franklin that I'm...
Stevie, what is the matter with you anyway? Are you dead? Are you dead?
Is he dead?
Miss Copthorne, my lady.
Please, enter. Thank you, Simmons.
My lady?
Yes, he painted that. It's my late husband. Tell me, do you think him very talented?
No, not really.
I suppose if he'd lived, he'd have made someone very happy. I often worry that I might have been unfair to him. Please, sit down.
I thought you'd had the net curtains removed.
I sleep a lot in here. I spend a lot of time sleeping.
I'm sorry. You weren't unfair, you know, about Huey. But he wasn't a bad man. Just very weak and very appealing to a certain type of woman.
He never loved me.
Would you rather think he did love you or he didn't?
Oh, I don't know. Who knows if I loved him? I have no idea what the word means, after all.
He was very fond of you. I know that.
Thank you. And you?
We were alike. We needed each other to survive somehow. Like alcoholics, I suppose. We were quite drunk, in fact, when it happened.
And the driver, was he drunk?
Leadbitter, no.
Why did he...
It was an accident.
He was such a steady driver.
I expect the new car had something to do with it.
He had a new car?
They say he looked as though he was asleep over his wheel.
That's how I first saw him. On that first trip to Canterbury, asleep over his wheel. How strange. Poor Leadbitter, he worked so hard.
A strut had broken off the steering wheel and run into his chest. They say it was so thin that when they pulled it out, the wound was almost invisible.
I'm so sorry. He was a good, kind man. He sent me a little note, you know.
A note? What sort of note?
Wishing me all the best and sending me a little keepsake, a St. Christopher. I used to admire it. So kind.
Yes. Well, anyway, He sent you a last message. I was to tell you, that's why I came.
Huey sent me a last message?
Not Huey. Leadbitter. He loved you, Lady Franklin. The last thing he said was, tell Lady Franklin that I love her. He turned to me to say it. He died saying it. Does it make any difference?
I don't know.
What an egoist the woman is, thinks Constance.
So, was it Leadbitter who sent me the other message too? The anonymous letter?
Yes.
And was it true?
Yes.
Why did he do that?
Because he loved you.
Thank you. It was kind of you to come, but you must go now.
When she looks up, Ernestine is alone. She sits motionless for some time, then takes an envelope from the desk beside her, and out of its folds, draws out the St. Christopher medallion, a child on giant shoulders. She notices a sudden flash of blue and silver, like a glimpse of the sky.
In episode 2 of The Hireling by L.P. Hartley, dramatised for radio by Judith Adams, Stephen Leadbitter was played by Simon Day and Lady Franklin by Lisa Dillon. Huey was Joseph Milson. Constance, Ursula Burton. Clarice, Nicola Duffett. Simmons, Anthony Gleave. Standing, Kevin James. And the landlady, Jane Purcell. The narrator was Kenneth Cranham. The Hireling was directed by Chris Wallace and is an Autolycus production for BBC Radio 4.
Mario Lefrostrup talks to John Banville about his new novel, A Death in Summer, and how will publishers respond to the growing demand for short-form fiction? Open Book follows the news.
There wasn't a question of drinking at work, which I didn't, but leaving work early and drinking heavily.
BBC Radio 4 presents the intimate story of Steve.
I could not reduce it. If I tried to reduce, then I would become tremorous, shaky.
Acclaimed academic, hospital consultant, and recovering alcoholic.
I was exceedingly depressed, and the only way out of it I could see was death.
An interior life. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.